Greetings, adventurers. So, my party and I walked into a tavern the other week in pursuit of a much-needed drink. The barkeep eyed us cautiously and asked why we carried our weapons inside. Mimics, was my reply. He laughed, the bard laughed, the cleric laughed, the table laughed. We killed the table. It was a good time. All jokes aside, it is currently 11:20 a.m. on Wednesday, March 29, 2017. You're listening to Dungeon Delvers, the show that plunges into the murky depths of gaming to navigate the labyrinth. I'm your host and part-time Dungeon Master, Hannah Ward. Today's guest is Jake Bogus, an employee of a relatively large game retailer, for which certain reasons will remain unnamed, and an avid fan of Dungeons & Dragons. Thanks for joining me today, Jake.
Good morning.
All right. So I remember you told me a little while ago that you've been playing Dungeons & Dragons for a couple years. How'd you get into it?
Some of my other friends had been playing it for a while, and I was like, oh, that's a little bit too nerdy for me, but I guess I'll give it a try, because I was watching this show that is pretty popular, Critical Role.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's interesting enough for me, because they're a bunch of voice actors that work in the gaming industry, and that I think I would like it as much as they like it when they're playing. So being with my friends and hanging out with them is probably the major reason.
Yeah. The Critical Role is the one with Matt Mercer, right?
Yeah, Matt Mercer, Liam O'Brien, Laura Bailey, a bunch of voice actors in there.
Yeah, I remember they once had a special that had Vin Diesel on there. I thought that was really cool.
Because he's in that movie or whatever.
He's been in the Fast and Furious, but that's like one of the big ones, I think. But he's also been in like his own science fiction sort of series. It's like The Chronicles of Riddick. It started with Pitch Black in like 2000 or something, and then it went on. Actually, like, I really like those movies. The first one's, I think, the best. And then the next two are okay. I didn't actually watch the third one, which is just Riddick, but I got some pretty cool merch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was The Witch Hunter. That was the movie.
The fantasy one, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually never watched that. I don't know if it got good reviews, though.
I think it was okay. It was better than people thought. It had I think in the Critical Role show, they mentioned it as well, like that's why they did it, to promote it, as well as like he even made like a special class for him.
Man, I gotta check that out, because anything with Vin Diesel in it, I'll watch, even if it's good or not. All right, so I guess getting more into the types of Dungeons & Dragons, what edition do you play? Have you played more than one?
No, it's been fifth edition, mostly, that I've played. But I've used parts of fourth edition and, like, third edition in it, just because fifth edition is a little new still, so they're adding, I just, take from other editions, different parts that I like and add it to the fifth edition.
So I'm guessing it's, like, from the other editions, it's stuff that they've taken out, possibly, and then you just take those parts and put them into the 5th edition?
Yeah, right, exactly. It's mostly, like, monsters or different weapons that they didn't have in this edition, and that it was mostly, like, stuff that kind of didn't work, but or needed more tweaking in previous editions that, like, would work kind of better in editions now.
Okay. So I've also heard that 5th edition is a little more streamlined, though I thought 4th edition was more streamlined than 5th. 4th kind of reminded me of, like, using the mechanics of a video game where you hit it once and you can hit over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but, and I've also played 5th edition. I think it's probably my favorite next to 2nd edition. Most people really like 3.5. I haven't played that one, but 2nd edition I always figured was a little more complex. I mean, if you take out Thaco, it's pretty fun. It's good for dungeon crawling.
Yeah, definitely. The 4th edition especially was a lot more streamlined, like you're saying. They used like more text to explain things than like in the newer editions where it's like blunt and like easier to understand. Like with 4th edition, they had more like I don't know what the word is, but it's more like subtext to things, so it was more like I don't know what the word is.
So what I'm taking from that is there was more text to 4th edition, but it was the mechanics itself were less complex, whereas in 5th edition they get to, they kind of have, it's kind of blunt and straightforward, but the mechanics are there and they're a little more complex than 4th edition.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, 5th edition has been a lot more streamlined to where to creating a character, to running your own campaign is super easy. I really suggest anyone that should do it as well.
Cool. So, I guess, I imagine it was a bit overwhelming at first trying to get into Dungeons & Dragons with all the books and the rules.
And oh, yeah, and the math.
There's a big history behind it. Mm-hmm. Were there any challenges with finding people to play with? I know you said you were playing with friends.
But... Yeah. But yeah, playing with friends was, I guess that was the one of the easier parts at first. But then once you want to play more than when your friends can once a week, trying to find those other people, like going to like video game stores or gaming stores or like comic book stores or something like that to find other people. That's like, or even online, you can try finding people through different websites and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know there's like Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds, I think.
Yeah.
That's where I've played on Roll20 before. I think that's where I got my start. I got all the books and I was just like, all right, I'll just jump right in.
Yeah.
Found a module, Tyranny of Dragons, I think. So that one was pretty recent. It's definitely 5th edition, but let me think. I had a question. Oh, yeah, you said comic book stores. Do they often host games at comic book stores?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's actually a comic book shop that I go to that I play at pretty regularly. Well, I guess bi-weekly now. And I've gone to other gaming stores or comic book stores that that host weekly events that you can just drop in and play at your leisure. Try it out, I always suggest.
Yeah. Because I know, do you know any in particular? Because I'm trying to find some more.
Yeah, I knew before Game Ogre in Northridge, but they moved recently.
I think they moved to Thousand Oaks.
Yeah, they had a night. Also, Fire and Dice.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah, they had one too. And then I think there's one in Santa Monica, but I forget the name. It's like an actual like D&D store or like tabletop store.
Is it Game Crazy?
I think so. Or it's like Game Archery or something like dealing with archery.
Yeah, I think it's something. I think I've heard of it before. I haven't, like, someone mentioned it. I think someone mentioned one last week.
Mm.
And I think that one was it, but I don't remember.
Yeah, it's super popular.
Oh, I would bet.
Yeah, because it's been around for so long.
Yeah. So, what's the largest group you've played with?
Probably the group I was setting up last week would probably be like 8 people. It's a pretty crazy group. It's a group of all bards.
Ooh.
And if you know anything about D&D, it's pretty hard and like frustrating to be in a group of all bards because,
not to mention with any musicians, the most annoying party ever.
Yeah. It's the class is pretty crazy because you have this ability where you can inspire other people and give them extra rolls, which increases your like possibility on like becoming better and achieving your set out goal or like winning or striking the creature or whatever. And you can like manipulate people with your charisma and everything like that, so you can kind of get what you want. And a whole you can only imagine everyone doing that at the same time.
Whole lot just, of antics.
Yeah, exactly.
I can only imagine it's going to give the Dungeon Master a headache.
I can imagine too.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Is a bard one of your favorite classes to play as?
I haven't played too many different classes. I've played a lot of different classes just to try them out. I like the bard as well as like druid, but right now I'm playing this like mixed like dual class of a bard, multiclassing of a bard and a rogue, which is like kind of weird.
No, I think that's kind of they're kind of made for each other.
Mm.
Sleight of hand goes with like a bard's silver tongue.
Exactly, yeah. That's what kind of liked about it. There's this new thing they recently added with 5th edition that they've been putting out new content regularly. From Wizards of the Coast, the people that make Dungeons & Dragons, or at least do it, called Unearth Arcana. And they recently added, like, a new subclass to the Bard called the College of Whispers. And it's a kind of like a secret organization that the bards have, where like normally like a bard is like a person that is like a musician, and they're at the tavern or whatever, and they're talking to people, or like performing, and with the College of Whisperers, you are secretly like listening on these conversations and using it for your own gain.
Almost like an informant, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I think I actually tweeted about the Unearthed Arcana a couple weeks ago.
Mm. Yeah, they recently added a new class. Well, not a new class, just a new class of this edition.
Yeah. Do you have any, what do you think makes a good character?
I think it is part of the background of your character that makes it more interesting, because all the numbers that you add to it are easily put in that you roll for. The ability scores and skills and stuff like that aren't the most important thing. It's your history and background for your character that you make up and makes it personalized. Just making your own, pretty much.
So do you think it's more like player interaction as well as, I guess, immersion?
Exactly, yeah. Making it like connecting with your fellow like players, as well as like interacting with your DM, and making it like your own, essentially making it you.
Yeah, I think that's what I like most about Dungeons and Dragons. You basically become anyone and anything.
Exactly. Yeah, you can be whatever gender you want. You can be whatever race you want. You can be whatever class you want. You can be literally whatever you want.
I remember I once made a character named Kobold the Kobold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a green kobold, which is, for those of you who don't know, it's basically a small lizard. Though, and I think in Germanic myths, they're like dog people.
Mm-hmm. It's not kobold-colored?
Kobold-colored?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I did make that joke.
Yeah.
To the group I was playing with. I don't remember. But I'm pretty sure I thought about changing it to Kobold. And then I also did one called, I think I thought about naming it Kobold, Grunt, and Kobold. So I think, and I ended up going with Kobold because I couldn't think of anything else. And I thought, it's not a joke character, but I like the idea.
Yeah.
So, when I think about it, you did mention that bards can, you know, kind of inspire characters. Because I've also played a bard. Mm-hmm. But when you do that, do you like to play by the book? Or do you, sometimes fudge numbers to get a certain outcome if it, you know, is funny or if it...
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it's part of the DM, the Dungeon Master's, like, thing where... If they don't see sometimes people roll, like, more better than they should kind of thing. but, no, I try to play mostly by the book. It also depends on the a dungeon master to see if they're playing, like, their own kind of campaign or, like a pre-made one or, like, one that they've created themselves. So they have different rules sometimes. But I guess I usually try to... play it up a little bit more than you should, just because that's the kind of character. Like, for my character, I try to be a little bit more sly and, like,
charismatic.
Smooth. Yeah, charismatic and smooth and thing like that, to, like, hide, like, what I'm doing on the back end as the rogue style.
Have you ever seduced the Ogre Horde?
No, I've never seduced the Ogre Horde, but I have seduced a few ladies in my time, as well as men.
I don't think your girlfriend will like that.
No, but that's out of game.
Out of game. I see. So, I guess speaking of, like, funny joke characters, have you ever, had any funny combat encounters?
Not too many funny combat encounters. But I have created a few joke characters.
Tell me about them.
Yeah, I had this one character, Quentin Longfeather, who was, he's a paladin, but he didn't want to be. His father was the Pope, and he tried to get out of it, but his father just kept on pushing him. So, I don't know. I have never played as him, but I did create the character for, like, a friend to use as, like, just to mess around with.
Paladin whose father is the Pope.
Yeah.
So, I guess, do you have any pet peeves when it comes to fellow players and game masters?
Because
I know that, you know,
yeah.
Dice, like tabletop games, go just past Dungeons and Dragons. There are others.
Yeah, I guess sometimes, like, it can be a long time in between when it's your turn in combat. So, I've had other players sometimes, they're on their phone or something like that, and it's kind of distracting, and they're not in the game. That's, like, I guess one of the major like pet peeves I've had.
Yeah, I'm kind of guilty of that, but, you know, it's also, combat is very boring sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's part of your Dungeon Master's job to make it more interesting, or, like, to involve you more.
I feel really guilty now. Ooh.
And we've all been
We've all been there. So, to shift the topic a little bit, would you like to can you tell us more about your experience with video games? Because I know you've worked for a game retailer, and I think you once mentioned to me that you did work for a comic book store for a while.
Yeah, I've worked at both a video game retailer and a comic book store. Not local, but in Santa Monica. Right now I'm working at a video game store. It's pretty busy now just with the Switch launch.
Oh.
Last month now. I guess when this goes out or whatever.
Before you go on, I just hate to interrupt, but is the Switch launch as bad as it sounds? Because I've heard that there's a lot of problems with the Switch. I've seen so many videos. I was just wondering if it's actually true, because it might be fake. I don't know.
I mean, if you can get one, I guess is the major thing. It's so hard to find one. It's like the NES Mini that came out. Like, I think anything with Nintendo is hard to get. Yeah, exactly. With the past, like with the Wii when it originally came out, everyone wanted one of those.
I still have mine.
Yeah. Well, no, I meant like originally when it first came out, like you couldn't get one. Like even grandmas were trying to grab it because of
Christmas.
Yeah, for like Wii bowling and stuff like that and Wii Sports. But yeah, it's super hard to come by right now. We're constantly selling out of it, and like the games on it are fun, but there's few and far between that have come out. The major one is like The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. That was the most popular one.
Yeah. Well, because I wasn't really too keen on the idea of them launching something that didn't have too many games out already, because most of the Nintendo stuff, they just do, it's all first party. It's not third party games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the major problems I think that Nintendo's been having in recent years, of not having enough third party support. That's just apart from non-major from outside publishers that aren't Nintendo. But yeah, recently they've been having a little bit more success with like Pokemon and stuff like that, especially since last year was their 20th anniversary.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Wait, the Pokemon 20th anniversary?
Yeah, Pokemon. Nintendo's. Yeah, not Nintendo.
Nintendo's been going for a while.
Oh yeah, definitely. They're a pretty old company.
That's interesting. And I guess as a game retailer employee, I hope you get pretty good discounts.
Oh, yeah. Okay, not like...
Not super crazy. Not too, yeah.
But yeah. Better than you might think, but yeah.
Yeah. And because of that, like, I know, do you ever get a sneak peek of any of the games that are coming out?
I know in the past people would have, or we would, with the company, we'd have like demos of early games, but more recently we haven't been privileged to that like information. I guess because so many people in the gaming industry leak information, and that's like a big like no-no and like a big like thing that like major companies try to like hide, or not hide, but like try to stop, because you don't want to like show off your game before it's even like announced, or like even if it's ready.
Yeah, I would imagine that, because I remember there was a pretty big leak not too long ago. I don't remember if it was for a movie or if it was for a game, but it's pretty big.
Yeah, I think one of the bigger ones, it wasn't like a leak, but like so many people knew about it, was like Fallout 4 last year. It wasn't leaked early, but there was like a lot of buzz that it might come out just because so many people had wanted it. And that they like hid it, not hid it, but like kept it a secret for a pretty long time, but everyone knew it was kind of coming out.
Yeah. So, and speaking of that, do you think, like, if, I know you're not exactly, you know, a developer, but do you think that if it's something's leaked or there's a little bit of a buzz, do you think it puts the pressure on the company to rush the game out.
Oh, yeah. Well, not put the game out, but definitely put something out there. Like, I think recently Destiny 2 was leaked by a company, and they had to push out not what they were going to put out, but like a mini demo trailer or like a little snippet or something. And I think tomorrow they're putting out like a big trailer or whatever on the 30th.
All right. So, I guess to delve a little bit more into the video games, and I know that Dungeons & Dragons was kind of the grandfather or the father of the modern video game industry.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because some of the mechanics, I guess, are kind of taken and put into video game format, like with combat and all that. I know that Dragon Age is heavily inspired from Baldur's Gate, and Baldur's Gate is a direct tie-in to the Dungeons & Dragons with the world of Faerun. Though that one is really old.
Yeah.
But I guess speaking with video games, are there any new ones that you're looking forward to?
Last of Us 2 would probably be one of the bigger ones that I'm looking forward to, but who knows when that one's going to come out. Hopefully soon. The first one was amazing.
You see the trailer?
Oh, yeah. That one almost made me cry just with the music in it and like the cinematography they put into the trailer.
Yeah, I got chills.
Yeah.
It reminded me of like the first BioShock Infinite trailer that came out. The one with, I think, we didn't know the name of the characters yet. Like, there was Booker, I think. Mm-hmm. And he was like holding on to Blimp or something. And then, like, Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah, like the hook shot, I think it's called. To like grapple around on the tracks.
Yeah. And then it was an early design for Elizabeth. And then they ended up using, I can't remember what the potions are called. Mm-hmm. My sister was a big fan of the BioShock series.
The elixirs and stuff like that.
Yeah, the elixirs. I think she must have used an elixir because there was a bunch of roses and she like kind of pulled Booker towards her. Mm-hmm. And then something grabbed her and Booker fell.
Oh, yeah. That one's one of my favorite. The whole BioShock series is really good.
Yeah. A lot of people think the second one is not that good. I'd have to disagree. I really liked it.
Yeah, I think that I like that one, like maybe, well, not my favorite, but that was the one I first played. And I fell in love with the series through that, and then I went back through one and then into Infinite.
Yeah, I really like the playing as a Big Daddy felt really powerful.
Oh yeah, just going around smashing things that you couldn't smash in the first one and like just taking out fools.
Now, as a game employee, I mean a game retailer employee, are there any niche games that you would recommend that you've seen come through the store that not many people play?
There's a one recently, I think it's called Overcooked. It's like a chef kind of game. You and your friends, it's like a co-op game that you get to go around. And you're in a like little kitchen and you have to like chop the lettuce and then you have to like put it on the plate and then you have to chop the meat into it. And then like one person is like running back and forth with the plate trying to get it to the cook and then the cook has to like get it in. It's like crazy and you only have like so much time or else the world will end.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's a little. Go from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, but it's really fun because you're like all working together, yelling at each other. It's like you're in a real kitchen.
All right, so I have one more question before we wrap up, and it's probably the most important of all.
Okay.
Does Half-Life 3 have a release date?
I wish, but no. I don't think it's ever going to come out, really.
Honestly, yeah, I was just joking. I don't think it's ever going to come out. Hell's probably going to be frozen over before that thing comes
Valve,
out.
Valve, the company that makes it, is also the one that is through Steam. It's the same company. Yeah. And they're making way too much money through Steam to like ever need to like make it.
I'm going to cry.
Me too.
And I love Portal. I love Wheatley. I love GLaDOS. I also love the Intelligence Core. It's probably my favorite. So I think that's it. Well, adventurers, that's it for today. There will be a week and a half between now and our next show. Thank you for your time, Jake. It was a real pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
All right. For KPCRadio.com, I'm Hannah Ward, signing off.